877-500-5266 and get in on that deal for a copy of Ted Rawls' book. You all have a good day now.
I know you don't know what life is really worth. It's an art that needs a scroll. After story had never been told. So now you see the light. Hey, stand up for your right. Come on,
get up, stand up. Stand up for your right.
And good morning. You are listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio station.
Stand up for your rights.
Pledge drive underway just before 9 o'clock, a minute beforehand. We're about an hour away from Chris Andre hosting Air Cascadia with headlines, interviews, and commentary. Then at 10:15 today on Flashpoints, an in-depth look at the U.S. nuke deal with Iran. And the big media falls to tie hundreds of civilian casualties in Yemen to the U.S. and U.S. intelligence. At 11 on Between the Covers, local author Patsy Kullberg talks about her new novel, Girl in the River, a portrait of the intimate lives of women during one of the most corrupt periods in Portland history. And then at 11:30 on Words and Pictures, the director of the Northwest Animation Festival discusses the future of independent animation in Oregon and around the world. That's all coming up right after Press Watch. It's news you're not supposed to know with Teresa Mitchell right after this.
This KBOO program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Portland's Gay Directory, providing a resource guide of openly gay-friendly businesses, organizations, and services since 1996. New smartphone app available for all iPhones and Droids. For more information, you can visit gaypdx.com.
Good morning, you're listening to Press Watch. News you're not supposed to know. I'm Teresa Mitchell. Join me for a brief peek behind the video veil of Monopoly media manipulation and an examination of the news you're not supposed to know. Well, this morning, I'm going to talk once again about 9/11. And it won't surprise you that I intend to further trash the official story, which is just basically a myth. And it's a very important myth because it's the myth that stands at the basis of our most recent, most modern explosion of imperialism and fascism. And I'm going to have a couple of guests on from architects and engineers for 9/11 Truth, and they will be calling in just a couple of minutes. First, I wanted to go to headlines. Headline number one, we are in fundraising mode. And so if you were to call 877-500-5266. Right now, you can beat the crowd. And if you're wondering how people get those cool hoodies, actually, they're warm hoodies. And if you'd like to get yours, well, you can't buy them in a store. And you can't just plunk down money and get it. You have to become a KBOO member in a certain way to get the hoodie with our dynamic design on it, with the red star that is overshadowed by the transmitter and very bold graphics. People just love these hoodies. You can get yours by calling 877-500-5266 and pledging $20 a month, which we can peel off from your bank account every day. But we'll give you more information on that in a few minutes. Right now, from Radio Havana, the United Nations is now estimating at least 850,000 people are expected to cross the Mediterranean this year and next year, seeking refuge in Europe to escape violence and unrest in Syria, Afghanistan, Pakistan, Iraq, sub-Saharan Africa, and other regions. At least 366,000 refugees have arrived in Europe so far this year, and those are just the ones that have lived. The United States, meanwhile, is reportedly considering taking in more Syrian refugees as it faces increasing domestic and international pressure. The United States has resettled only approximately 1,500 Syrians since the violence began. And that's edited by Yvonne Martinez on Radio Havana, Cuba. You can get that by pulling up radiohc.cu and then clicking the English flag, which gives you the English service. 850,000 people is a hell of a lot of people, and it's an extremely ugly situation. And perhaps you've seen the iconic picture of a little child dead with his face in the sand. Many children have died. And when Radio Havana gives the list of Syria, ask yourself, when I give you this list again, which countries has the United States been blowing apart with arms, with bombing from the air, with cluster bombs made right here in the United States? That would be Syria, Afghanistan, Pakistan, yep, Iraq, yep, sub-Saharan Africa, and other regions. Yes, the United States has created this crisis, and this crisis comes out of the increased push for oil hegemony at any cost, and that came out of 9/11, because there was a decision made. And if you remember your history, and well, I guess I should phrase that differently. If you know the hidden history, the United States actually, at the top governmental and at the sub-visible governmental levels, many, many years ago, started freaking out about petroleum. Back in the 70s, there was an oil embargo, and people had to wait in line, and there was discussion of how the United States needed to turn from oil and how we needed to find a different economy. Electric cars were actually produced in the 1970s in mass, not in a big way, for the first time since the turn of the 20th century. And that's how far back they go, actually, is, you know, right around the 1900s, you could get electric cars. In 73, Congress, under President Nixon, passed a bill. I think it was a funding bill. It didn't have the title that you would expect to find, but it contained in the funding bill was a proviso that in the distant year of 1993, a certain percentage, a large percentage, of the U.S. Manufactured fleet would be electric. Well, with the Reagan counter-revolution and the advent of powerful figures such as Dick Cheney and Donald Rumsfeld, who were in the Nixon administration and who were known at that time as the Gruesome Twosome, powerful operators who stayed with President Reagan, who came back under the President's Bush, who have been in power all this time, 9/11 came about. And I've had Peter Dale Scott here, I've had David Ray Griffin, I've had others on this program detailing the massive compendium of information that has been gathered to utterly refute the official story of what George Carlin used to call the explosions downtown. Today I'm taking a different approach. I'm going to talk to architects and engineers about what is possible and what is not. And I want to emphasize again, you're concerned about global warming? The reason we can't turn around global warming, the reason the U.S. always fudges at those big conferences, is because the people in power, Halliburton, Cheney, Shell Oil, Rumsfeld, Wolfowitz, have arranged it so that democratic power has been utterly wrested from your hands by a visual and visceral stunt. The big lie, the really, really, really big lie, 9/11. And I want to take a different approach because there's a certain angle in which you look at the big lie and you will understand that there is no way anyone can seriously maintain that the official story is correct. So as I say, different approach. Turn up the volume because you're not going to want to miss a word. from this, from San Francisco Bay Area architect Richard Gage, AIA, and Oregon's Marvin Sandis. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. Richard Gage is a member of American Institute of Architects and the founder of Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth. Now, you can find that on the web at ae911truth.org. That's AE for Architects and Engineers. Get it? ae911truth.org. He is an architect of 28 years and has worked on most types of building construction, including numerous fireproofed, steel-framed buildings. There's a reason they call them fireproof. And Marvin Sands, who we hope to get in just a moment, is politically active in Oregon. He hosted World Trade Center Awareness Day with Richard Gage at the Oregon State Capitol in June, and he recently introduced the World Trade Center 7, the third building that collapsed, evidence to the mayor and council of Portland in August. They roundly, pointedly ignored him because that's who they are. Richard Gage and Marvin Sands, welcome to Press Watch and to KBOO Portland. And I think we do have Richard Gage, AIA. Are you there? Awesome.
Sure am. Thanks. It's an honor to be here with you.
Okay. Richard Gage, why did you form AE911truth.org? Is the official story so far off the mark?
Yes. In fact, 2,300 architects and engineers agree and have now signed our petition demanding a new investigation. And the evidence for the explosive controlled demolition of all three of these skyscrapers is overwhelming, and we've got to have a real investigation. I started this organization 9 years ago in order to awaken the American public, our Congress, the academic profession of technical and building professionals, and the media about this, because there is a level of censorship that's unprecedented in this crime of the century, and we've got to wake up. As you indicated, we have a $4.5 trillion global war on terror. We've legislated away civil liberties through the Patriot Act, the Military Commissions Act, the National Defense Authorization Act of 2012. Any of us can be thrown into jail without a right to a trial, a lawyer, a jury. We can be assassinated even. So this is not the America that we want to be living in. We've got, if there's any question about what happened on 9/11, specifically with these three towers, but all the events of 9/11 are in question, we've got to have a real investigation.
The three towers, that's where we start, isn't it? And I've just been informed that Marvin is also on the air. Is it Marvin San? Is that how you pronounce it, Marvin?
Yeah, Santa.
Sandis, okay. What makes you so interested in the 9/11 story, Marvin?
Well, the silence of World Trade Center 7, the disappearance of World Trade Center 7, and the absence of our media to question the most seminal event in this nation's history. So that's what really bothers me, that our media does not do their job. You people are specifically mentioned in the Constitution to question these things, and it's just not happening. So it's happening outside. Gage and volunteers for architects and engineers and people all over the world are working on this, getting the word out about this event. So
that's true. That's, I mean, the 9/11 story isn't so well accepted elsewhere, but here we have the story. We have the strong myth, which has, as I was saying to my partner earlier today, it's risen from a picket fence to a great wall of China that has to be chipped down because we've built whole wars, wiped out unknown numbers of lives, but certainly in the hundreds of thousands because of this lie. And you're listening to KBOO Portland. And here's something that I need you to become involved with. I've been talking about how essential this great big lie is to global warming, to the withdrawal of the levers of power from the American public. It is so essential to so many things. It is essential to U.S. imperial war, certainly. But it is also essential to the way the society has been formed. And we are going to get into the details of this. We are going to pull the linchpins out, and you are going to be able to understand why the official story of 9/11 is a crock, and you're going to understand during this hour here on KBOO Portland Community Radio. But first, we need to raise a little bit of funds from you. So we're going to take just a couple of minutes. We need to raise $1,000 on this program, and you can do it. Certainly those of you who would like to have a hoodie can do it right now by calling 877-552-66, 877-552-66. We would also like to tempt you. We still have copies, I believe, of the graphic novel we were just talking about Edward Snowden by Ted Rawls, and that is a quality piece of work. That's the sort of thing you can get by calling in right now, 877-552-66. Excuse me, 877-500-KABU, 877-500-5266. That would be you right now, because you are the one who can keep KBOO on the air, and we depend on you. That's why we can have a program like this, a program that you absolutely cannot hear on the other supposedly public radio station. This is something that is taboo. It is not going to be discussed. This, however, is KBOO. We do free speech. We do actual speech, and right now the plinth from Membership Central is hydraulically and smoothly rolling into the studio as I am joined by Will and I think Rolf,
yes,
who can give you more
right.
details.
Thank you very much, and it's great to be with you, Teresa, and it's great to be raising money for this fantastic organization, KBOO. And as Teresa said, 877-500-5266, and you pick up the phone, you dial that number, and you can make this magic happen.
That's right, and I'd like to thank some people who've already called. Rainer is a renewing member from North Portland. Steve, renewing member in Lebanon. Scott, renewing member in Tualatin. Jenny, renewing member in Northeast Portland. And Robert, a new member in Oak Grove, Oregon.
Fantastic. Thanks,
y'all.
Thank you, all of those people.
Yep.
And whether you are already a member and you want to just help us out a little more, or you want to join, you've been listening to KBOO for a while and you're realizing, hey, this is the stuff you don't hear anywhere else.
Yeah, Rolf, some people are already giving us 10, and for another 10 a month, you could have that
hoodie.
Have
the hoodie, that's right.
And winter's coming. Where did I get that phrase?
I've never seen Game of Thrones, but even I know that phrase.
Yeah. 877-500-5266. That number is 877-500-5266. You can also go online at kboo.fm. And there's a little thing up in the, I believe it's in the right-hand corner that'll say donate now, like a little jar. But you can do it. All we're asking for is like $5 a month, $10 a month, or maybe just do what your hourly wage is per month. Because then you have that one hour of the month where you're just paying for KBOO and you're not even going to notice. You know, it's that hour you can really feel good that you're doing something really good.
That's right. And you're supporting KBOO and you're keeping it simple. And also a one-time payment. Maybe you just want to fit in a one-time payment into your budget. You grab the phone, dial us at 877-500-5266. And KBOO will be grateful to you, and you'll be grateful to KBOO for all the fantastic programming we bring you. And I know how hard Teresa Mitchell works on this show. It's sometimes half an hour, sometimes it's an hour. But there are a heck of a lot of hours put in before the show to make it happen and to bring you this research and to bring you these phenomenal guests. And I think this subject, I remember when 9/11 happened, and I remember watching those towers fall on TV and just being stunned. And then as the story unfolded, you just kept on asking questions and things didn't make sense. And I've read the 9/11 report, and I know how much of it was edited down and how much was left out. And I don't know what was left out, because that was left out, of course. But yeah, this is what Teresa Mitchell is doing. She's bringing us the truth, and you won't find this on any other media format. So please pick up the phone, dial 877-500-5266, and it's a great way to say thank you to Teresa Mitchell.
Thank you to those of you who have already called in. Thank you, Will and Rolf. That was brief, I know, but we'll come out more towards the bottom of the hour, and we will try that again. And I am speaking, as I said, with Marvin Sanis and with Richard Gage of the Architects Richard Gage, AIA, American Institute of Architects, professionals who have been involved with AE911truth.org, a website that you could pull up and follow along with. Now, as I was saying, this mythos, the official story of 9/11, has been the basis for an incredible explosion of imperialism over the last decade and more. And so I want to ask specific questions. As a member of AIA, Richard, why would you challenge the story that the third building in the World Trade Plaza, WTC7, collapsed due to an office fire? You still there, Richard? Okay, we'll check and see if we've got Richard Gage. We'll try and get Richard Gage back. And Marvin Sanders, are you still there?
Yes.
All right. Well, then I'll pose the same question to you. Why would you challenge the story that at the third building in the World Trade Plaza Center collapsed due to an office fire?
Well, because I looked at the evidence. I read several books. I looked at the video of World Trade Center 7's symmetrical collapse instantly, 47 stories in 7 seconds. You know, tomorrow, for your Portland listeners, at Pioneer Courthouse Square, we're going to be there all day from 1 to 10 p.m., and we'll have videos, free videos, literature, 20 volunteers, some signs, some people to talk to. And we're at 7 o'clock, we're going to show the new movie by Eric Lawyer, the founder of Firefighters for 9/11 Truth, and Richard Gage, the founder of Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth. That movie will start at 7 o'clock at Pioneer Courthouse Square on a 7-foot screen in the small amphitheater. So it's a great opportunity to meet some people and to get some information about Building 7's collapse, destruction.
Well, there are some details, some specifics about that fire. I understand just from easily looking up what is the melting point of carbon steel, and I come up with the figure of 2,750 Fahrenheit. Couldn't the office fire at World Trade Center, I'm being a little snarky about this, okay, how hot did that fire get?
Office fires, they guesstimate those office fires burned at 800 degrees Fahrenheit. The highest carbon fires can get to is, I think, 1,600 or 1,800 degrees Fahrenheit. 1,000 degrees less than you need to melt steel.
Oh, just 1,000 degrees.
1,000 degrees Fahrenheit less than it takes to melt steel. And there was melted steel. Those fires burned into December, the longest.
Really, just liquid steel was pouring out.
Liquid steel in the pile, people who were searching for survivors, the people that were doing the cleanup found molten steel beneath all three buildings. The piles had molten steel, pools of molten steel. So there was some other source of energy that those buildings were brought down with nanothermite.
Nanothermite, it wasn't a magic power ray from the unicorn horns on the UFOs?
No. Architects and Engineer just looks at the science that we know. The science has been done. There is really no question, but I want to make this point. We can argue about what happened that day. There is absolutely no argument about what has happened since. We are beginning our 15th year of war in the Middle East. $20 trillion debt we're going to have next year in our election year. We're bombing, our jets are crossing the borders of 7 sovereign countries this morning. We have 1 million homeless public school kids this week in America. We are spending our great-great-grandchildren's resources. This is complete insanity. Our country has gone completely through the guardrail. And how we're ever going to, you know, we've had 80,000 SWAT raids on American homes in 2014.
Now, there's the fascistization that I was talking about. I understand Richard Gage, AIA, is back on the line. Are you there, Richard?
Yeah, still here. Can you hear me now?
Yes, thank you. And thanks for allowing us to get back in contact. Well, I wanted to ask you first generally, why did you form AE911truth.org?
Well, the evidence for the explosive demolition of these towers, as I mentioned, is overwhelming. So we've got to get more architects and engineers aware of it so that they can provide an informed comment. And we've given 400 presentations around the world in 37 countries, 82 American cities. And by a show of hands at each of these events from numbering from 100 to 2,000 attendees, everybody almost and often everybody is in agreement with the evidence for controlled demolition. It's just a matter of whether and how they can become aware of it, because the media has censored this subject. And so Marvin was mentioning, for instance, all of this molten iron, as it turns out to be, found by the first responders, the structural engineers, the iron workers, even Leslie Robertson, the structural engineer, the Twin Towers himself, saw a river of steel. Molten iron is pouring out of the South Tower. This is evidence of temperatures exceeding the melting point of iron. Jet fuel and office fires can only get to be about a third of those temperatures. This is incredible. And so Marvin suggested nanothermite is involved. This is a very high-tech form of thermite made only in the most sophisticated advanced defense contracting laboratories. So we've got to have an investigation of this forensic evidence, which in this case was done by a team of scientists led by Niels Parrott in Copenhagen, which finds these curious red-gray chips of unignited nanothermite. But even the USGS, in their toxicological studies of the dust, find evidence of the residue of ignited thermite as well in these small, previously molten iron microspheres that are dominating the presence in the dust. Up to 6% of the samples contain these, and yet they don't explain how this molten iron might have gotten there, because jet fuel and office fires can't explain it. So the official story does not give us the answers, nor does it give us the answer to Building 7's precipitous 7-second complete destruction at free-fall acceleration symmetrically into its own footprint. This can only be a controlled demolition, and it looks exactly like the ones like the old hotels in Las Vegas, for instance. So once architects, engineers, even children see this on the video, and you can just Google Building 7. Just Google Building 7. You'll see it right there in front of you.
Yeah, it's on YouTube.
Which is AE911truth.org. Yeah, go to YouTube and search Building 7. You'll see, oh, my God, they're telling us this came down by normal office fire? Not going to happen. That's why we have so many architects and engineers demanding. That's why, and for the reasons Marvin mentioned, our very country is at stake here. We're at war making and enriching the arms industry, the oil industry, the banking industry, the insurance industry, all of whom are profiting enormously from 9/11. And it is absolutely insane. And that's why we're in New York showing our latest film tomorrow night, the world premiere of Firefighters, Architects, Engineers Expose 9/11 Myths. We're very excited to present that. And that's on our website as well, AE911truth.org.
Well, let's pound this nail in a little further. We talked about earlier about how just to melt the buildings, not to turn them into dust as we saw before our eyes, but just to melt the steel, we were 1,000 degrees Fahrenheit short. That it's not physically possible that mere fire causes to happen. But just adding to that fact, isn't it true that there are many steel buildings that have had intense heat and fire and have not collapsed?
Oh, skyscrapers have never collapsed due to office fires. We've had 100 examples of very hot, large, and longer-lasting fires in these buildings. Not one of them has collapsed. So it doesn't make sense. So the controlled demolition of the buildings is the first hypothesis that NIST, the National Institute of Standards and Technology, should have been looking at. But instead, they go straight for this unlikely hypothesis by fire and try to prove through a computer model their theory, in case of how Building 7 came down by thermal expansion. But even the computer model completely disproves their own theory.
It gets more ridiculous the more carefully you look at it. And that's why I'm doing this program today. It's like I want to put the nail in the coffin of this idea that there were no explosives waiting in those buildings. The planes crashed into them, and that's what made them fall down. And it's caused by, you know, these Taliban-linked, super Arabs who somehow can fly planes at G-forces, into the Pentagon, for example, that would snap anyone's neck. It's a ridiculous story. The more closely you look at it, the more ridiculous it is. And of course, it is also a big lie story, and that means intimidation. And that means that there is a feeling of existential dread when people realize that their thoughts are going along the path of refuting the story, because the whole society is based now on the story, and not to accept the story is to be disloyal, and that's frightening. And Richard Gage and Marvin Sanis, I hope that you can stay on a bit. I need to fundraise a bit more. Can y'all stay on a bit longer?
Sure, yeah, and I want to encourage all the KBOO listeners to support this. This is one of the few stations that actively will support, will tell the American people what went on 9/11. So everybody, please pick up the phone and support this station of all stations.
Okay, well, then we'll get back to y'all in a few minutes, and we'll talk about the explosions. We'll talk about how it must have been done. And if there's time, I'll talk about Dick Cheney and Wolfowitz and the whole gang. But right now, I need you, that means you, theater of the mind, right? It's just me and you talking to you in that headphone. It's hi there. I'm waving inside your ear. And I'm Teresa Mitchell. You're listening to KBOO Portland. This is a 501c3 educational foundation. It is 80% dependent on your donations. We don't get government money. We don't get big corporate money. It's all about you, and that works great for breaking through the corporate media imposed media curtain. And right now I'm joined again by Will and Rolf
at
Membership Central, and they can tell you how to get your own hoodie and what number. Well, I'll tell you the number right now. It's 877-500-KBOO, 877-552-66. How are we coming in the fundraising so far?
Oh, we're doing pretty good.
We're doing well. We're doing really well. And we want to thank everybody who's called in so far. We want to look forward to those people who are going to call very soon, as in right now.
Do we have names?
We had some names.
We need more names.
Okay, names.